CBSi in the world. I'm John Batchelor. New York City, a new mayor, Eric Adams, a veteran of the New York Police Department, a man who campaigned on restoring order in New York, especially in Manhattan, which has these last months of the pandemic deteriorated to the point of crimes that were unthinkable before are now expected to be routine if they're not routine. I'm talking about pushing people in front of subway cars. Harry, a very good evening to you. The new mayor, the first week's statements to the media. The mayor is forthright in his statements. However, at the same time, the mayor's made some decisions about his own staff and the people at City Hall that are puzzling. He's also made decisions about parking at City Hall. And I seize upon this because this is the John Batchelor version of the broken window syndrome, the parking permission syndrome at City Hall. What does City Hall represent about parking? And what do we make of the fact that the mayor is not enforcing their own, the mandates of City Hall about order? Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, John. There's a lot there, so let me try to just go through very quickly. When Eric Adams was the borough president of Brooklyn, the plaza in front of Borough Hall became a de facto parking lot for himself and his people, top people. This wasn't just anyone could drive in and park. And you're seeing some of that happening now with parts of City Hall Park. Parts of that park are still public. Parts of them have been de facto not public, or the public can't access since the Giuliani administration. And in the walkways, in those parts, they have to go through a police checkpoint to get in. There have always been a handful of cars there, but you're seeing more and more cars. This is a very small thing. It's happening, however, as the mayor is bringing in Philip Banks, who we've talked about to be his deputy commissioner for public safety. Phil Banks left the NYPD because he was caught up, as you can see on the front page of the Daily News today, Tuesday, with guys who were bribing the mayor, and his good friend Norman Seabrook, who was the boss of the prisons union, went to prison for this. In fact, all of his good friends who he traveled around the world with are convicted felons now, and he's overseeing the NYPD. Eric Adams' younger brother, Bernard, who retired as a sergeant, is now going to be in a special newly made up NYPD position in which he is in charge of the mayor's personal protection and detail. So Adams has stressed his intention to be rule following. And there's always been a question of whether rule following is the same as acting in the public interest. You can go back to Plunkett and what's honest graft and what's not. Adams has been clear on the things he wants to finally be judged on, starting with public safety as a prerequisite for prosperity. And if he lands that, the rest will sort itself out, is his argument. I think that's right. However, cheating the rules, or the rules as they've been understood or they seem to have applied prior to this administration early on, is a distressing sign in terms of how public interest minded he'll be, and, which is a smaller thing but still a consequential one, how rule abiding he'll be. Even whether his actions are in the public interest or not. And all of that remains to be seen. In the meantime, some of these crimes that are not new, New York has always had mentally ill people and scary circumstances, going back at least to deinstitutionalization, but are becoming considerably more common, and particularly on the trains, which without a system to take care of the seriously mentally ill, without many of these people wanting to go into shelter or get help, they have been on the trains when many, many less people are there, largely because of the pandemic. And so their presence has loomed larger. There have been less eyes on the street, as it were, or on the train to serve as some sort of countervailing influence. And the number of killings in the subway system, while still, thank God, very low, has gone up considerably. Most recently with this 40-year-old woman who was Michelle Alyssa Goh, who was shoved in front of a train by a mentally disturbed man who then turned himself into the police and explained that he was God. And that's a longstanding nightmare that has once again come to life early in Eric Adams' watch, after another woman, a 19-year-old teen, was shot and killed while working the overnight shift at a Burger King. She was trying to get off the overnight shift because she feared for her safety. And a series of sort of high profile tabloid worthy crimes that, that have given the sense of the city running out of control. Obviously, over time, we'll have a little more perspective. Something terrible is always happening somewhere. But this is ominous for a mayor who's come in promising to restore order and who we knew was going to be the mayor for 7 months. So he's had time to come in prepared and to show what he's doing. With the train shoving, for instance, he mentioned that it was in Times Square, that there were police officers detailed there, as there pretty much always are. And then this, of course, leads to the question, well, what did they do? Could more police have been the answer? What do we need that the city has been wrestling with for decades? And now it's Eric Adams' turn.
The puzzle, Harry, because it's early week, it's early days. The mayor understands that the media that was obliging during the campaign is now in a position of dissenting or probing or asking questions about what about. Does the mayor evidence that he understands that? That the media, the New York Daily News, the New York Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal are not his friend. They're there as interlocutors of his policies.
He's bristling and whining some, but that is every new mayor. It is an adjustment, the level of skepticism and critique you get. And I want to single out the New York Post here because they endorsed Eric Adams in the Democratic primary. They gave him very favorable coverage and were frequently critical of and sort of wandered opposition about his the other candidates in that race. And the Post, to the real credit, since he's been in office, has called with balls and strikes as they see them, and some very hard ones. They said this thing with Phil Banks and his brother was insulting and an ominous sign for somebody who wants to take rules seriously. It talks about things like broken windows policing. And they've noted that while Adams has said that this subway shoving is only the perception of fear, they said, no, this is a real fear. You've had lots of time to prepare. What are you doing right now? Not in 6 months. So I've been both surprised and impressed by that from the Post. And I think Adams as well thought he had more rope with them and is going to have to learn how to take hard questions and hard shots from the media who are not here to, be as stenographers. And are going to be asking difficult questions. And the more so as he plays around with various conflicts of interest with the tight inner circle he has and who he's bringing into his administration.
Now we come to a small remark by the mayor, and maybe he was misquoted, about the subway crimes. And Harry, we've all ridden in subways, and we all know that you pay attention to what's in front of you and what's behind you. You especially get near a stanchion, a support structure. Just in case, when there's, I know I did it during the pandemic. The mayor said something about perception of fear. It's just a single remark, but is it your opinion, observing him as I cannot because I'm not in the city every day now, that he understands what the subways represent? It's not just about subway crime. It's about not being safe when you leave your home. Does he understand that?
I absolutely think he does. Now, just to be fair, every candidate talks about crime and real fear. And every new mayor talks about the perception of fear because it's gone from a problem on someone else's ledger to a problem on yours immediately. That said, Eric Adams is riding the trains, which previous mayors did not regularly do. He's talked a lot about them. He's working closely with the governor, Kathy Hochul, who seems to be aligned here and talking about bringing more police into the train system, which is politically difficult because the left has fought very hard against that and effectively argue that the very existence of police criminalizes people and causes inequitable outcomes. So I do think he gets this. It's a question of what he can do with this knowledge. If he understands it, what policies he can put in place, what success they're likely to have in the short term and the medium term and the long term, and how that makes New Yorkers feel. But I do think he has a serious and intimate understanding of it as a New Yorker, as a former police officer, and as a candidate, he's shown that.
The concern also about his new police commissioner and what I understand the police commissioner's concerns with these crimes, the puzzlement that the police commissioner has about the mayor's conduct. I think it's a healthy relationship, but it's one that is not evidenced in his relationship with Philip Banks. He has an intimate in a powerful position, an intimate of his circle in a powerful position. He has his brother in another significant position. Does he understand why it is that nepotism is not wise? Does he perceive that understanding that the media has a well knowledge of? We have about a minute.
He doesn't seem to yet. Look, every mayor comes in. They've just won. They know they're smarter than the press and all the people who thought they were wrong. They go with their instincts and the things that have worked for them before and the people who have been around them. And then they either learn fast and work things out from there, or they take their hits. It really remains to be seen with this mayor which path he'll end up taking.
Harry Siegel is the New York Daily News columnist as well as the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. We're observing a new mayor. There's great promise here, and there's reason to believe this is a dignified and extremely well-prepared mayor, a man who has a great interest to restore order in the streets of Manhattan. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.